This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
It's time, said a famous and well-known American commentator, given the horrific evil that is appearing across America, especially in leftist political circles, for Christians to pursue what should be their strategy of first resort, prayer and fasting. Eric Metaxas said to save the nation that has for generations provided religious freedom, representative government, and more around the globe. He was addressing his comments to American pastors and leaders. He said, as we approach a pivotal moment in our nation's history, it is imperative that we, as the shepherds of God's flock, rise to the occasion with urgency and gravity the moment demands. And the direction we take in the coming months will have produced and profound implications for generations to come. This is not just about politics, he said. It's about the soul of our nation, the future of our children, and the preservation of the freedoms that allow us to live out our faith boldly and without compromise. Question. Are we on the edge of committing national suicide? Is America on the edge of committing national suicide? Is, in fact, the entire Western world in a headlong pursuit of committing suicide, cultural suicide? And if that is true, will the Marxist Messiah save us? You say the Marxist Messiah, yeah. Will the Marxist Messiah save us? That's what we want to look at here today on Viewpoint, and I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and today is no exception. You know, we take a look at some of the basics that we're facing here, the issues of our time on the political focus of things, the economy, the family, life itself, environment, national borders. So where's the hope? Where is the hope? Well, we're being told, in fact, we were told actually on Tuesday night that the hope was in a Marxist savior. Now, that word wasn't used, but in fact, that's what we were told. We were told that actually, in order to save the economy, we need to spend more. We need to give $50,000 to this group and that group, and we need to give every person who wants $25,000 to buy a new house. And we need to give this, and we need to give that, and we need to spend this, and we need to spend that, at the very same time that we have reached $1 trillion payment every year just on the interest on our national debt. Just on the interest of our national debt, $1 trillion. And, of course, with the family, we're told, well, the family isn't really all the important, not as we've known the family, because anything you do, any relationships you have, can be called a family. So we'll reinstate the family. We'll call it something different. So you can have two women forming and adopting a child. That's a new family. We can have transgenders, and we can have this, and we can mix it all up. And we have a whole new set of families. But there's no cohesiveness, and there's no reproduction. Which brings us to the next point. Did you know that in the United States, we are barely keeping up with replacement of those that are dying in order to keep the population stable? Barely. We're right barely on the edge. But in Europe, the population is falling off so quickly that nations are actually losing population. In Russia, Vladimir Putin has actually promised people substantial money, benefits, if they'll just have more children. It seems we don't like children much anymore. It seems that they interfere with our personal peace and affluence. It seems to me that they interfere with what we want to do with our lives. And so we have been willing to sacrifice the future for the present. And on the environment, it seems that we become tree huggers, kissing trees, actually turned it into a pseudo-religion. Environmentalism is an ism. It's a kind of religion that even secular commentators are admitting is what has happened. So we've embraced Mother God instead of Father God, Mother Earth instead of Father God. And so Father God is out, Mother Earth is in. What has she done for you lately, by the way? And then we have the issue of national borders. What borders? Well, a nation that doesn't have borders isn't a nation. And when the borders are broken down, as they are not only in the United States, but in Germany and in the Netherlands, this very week, Germany and the Netherlands have said, we can't endure this anymore. We cannot endure this, these waves and waves and waves of illegal immigrants coming in. We can't sustain it. Our nations can't sustain it. And then we're told by Mr. Marx, Karl Marx, that religion is the opiate of the people, and we really don't need the Christian faith anymore. That's just a false belief system. That's not what we need. What we really need is more technology. We can save ourselves with technology and buy off the poor in order to keep the streets as quiet as possible. So the question is, where's the hope? Are we actually in the process of committing national suicide? I believe we are. Perhaps unwittingly, in many respects, that's exactly where we're going. And the question then is, will the Marxist Messiah save us? You say, well, what is the Marxist Messiah? Well, we're going to have to get into that. We heard the message of the Marxist Messiah on Tuesday night. It was called a debate. Not much of a debate, really, but we heard it. And what we heard was the message of the Marxist Messiah. With the people crying, having the gimme God blues, they want more and more and more for less and less and less contribution. It's just like the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3 about the perilous times that were going to come. The men were lovers of themselves, selfish. Selfish. Don't we live in a selfie world today? It's all about me, 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 me. And so, he said, men will be lovers of themselves, prideful, disobedient, disobedient to parents. In other words, chaos will be brewing in the society, and that will be part of the picture of the perilous times. The Apostle Paul put it differently in Romans chapter 1, where he talked about knowing God, they refused to give him glory as God, and therefore their foolish minds and hearts become darkened. And God gives them over to a reprobate mind to do what they will, calling black white, white black, homosexuality to be legitimate and a gift from God, all of these things. Will the Marxist Messiah save us? We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismier, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismier. Are we committing national suicide? And is there anything to intervene? Or are we led to believe that we must bow and worship a Marxist savior, a Marxist messiah? Eric Metaxas went on to say, in addition to what we shared in the opening remarks here of the program, he explained just why he thought we were in a desperate need for prayer and fasting in our country. He said, what we saw in the so-called debate a few nights ago was nothing less than an open display of demonic activity. Now, those are not my words. Those are his. The brazenness of lying was simply unprecedented. It showed a deeply wicked contempt for truth and for the American people that we simply have never seen. The debate was so biased, it was divorced from reality, quoting an article in The Federalist. The lying and gaslighting were so brazen from Harris, and the fact-checking from Muir and Davis so lopsided that the entire spectacle eventually took on the air of unreality. It was bizarre to see it happening live on the air. Perhaps the takeaway was that the purpose of these debates is to confuse and demoralize the American people by distorting reality, making it impossible to know what's true and what's not. But he went on to say that God is allowing these things to happen. Why? Is it producing a wake-up call? Maybe a little bit, but I'm not convinced all that much yet. I'm just not convinced. We've had prayer and fasting now over and over again for 50 years. I've been part of those movements. In fact, for 4 years, I was the chairman for the National Day of Prayer Task Force in the Commonwealth of Virginia from 1993 through 1996. That's right. And I've been part of almost every major prayer movement across the country. Was it Fasting and Prayer 96 in St. Louis, sponsored by Dr. Bill Bright, praying for America, praying for the church in America? Nancy Leigh DeMoss gave the opening keynote address, begin at my sanctuary, that God was saying, look, it's not with the liberals, it's not with the abortion, it's not with Slick Willie in the White House or Barack Obama or Joe Biden, it's with my people. But we still haven't gotten it. We still don't believe it. And so now we have been continuing down this path, yes, even since 1996 now, so that we're in a place where we're on the edge of committing national suicide. And now we have a candidate who, while claiming to believe in the God of the Bible, does not embrace any of the fundamental principles of the gospel or the Bible as portrayed by Jesus and his apostles, other than take care of the poor, which from Marx's position was the proletariat. It's not the poor from God's viewpoint, it's just the proletariat. So we got to make sure that the proletariat gets delivered from the bourgeoisie because they're oppressed. It's a gospel of oppression rather than a gospel of salvation. So today we look at the Marxist Messiah. What does the Marxist Messiah look like? While promising hope, it devolves into despair and hopelessness and horror. And yet the people clamor for it. They think that it's going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's going to solve the gimme God blues. They're going to get what they want. Just gimme, gimme, gimme. Except what they need. The Materialist Messiah, that was a label that was affixed to Karl Marx, titling a book on his life. Marxism is a secularization of Judeo-Christian messianism, said Walter Benjamin and Ernest Bloch in their special book on Karl Marx, a secularization of Judeo-Christian messianism. Marx has secularized the messianic time in the conception of the classless society. Messianism is the real secret of every revolutionary. So Karl Marx, actually, whether or not he called himself a Messiah, that's really what he presented. He was going to be the great deliverer, the great savior. And if you would just follow his gospel, Everything would be wonderful. Everything would be cool. And we would have peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And the identity of Marxism and socialism has been one of the most observable facts in the whole range of social phenomena, certainly for the past 50, 60 years. In fact, Marx is seen as the prophet of all socialist factions to whose teachings much of the modern world has bowed in whole or in part, and what is embraced by none other than Kamala Harris. Her parents were both Marxists. During his lifetime, even as now many of Marx's disciples regarded his theoretical manifesto Das Kapital as the Bible of the proletariat, the working class, with religious passion, thousands of working men read and studied it. It was to them an impregnable rock of holy scripture. That's how it was seen. Yet Karl Marx despised religion. He called it the opiate of the people. The Democrat Party virtually despises the Christian faith. That's why Barack Obama, when he was campaigning, made sure that a figure of Jesus Christ behind him was covered over with a shroud. That's why Barack Obama was called at least 20-some times the Messiah. The Democrat Party has rapidly departed from any Christian roots whatsoever and are presenting for salvation the opiate of the people. In fact, a fellow by the name of Ludovico Lally captured the religiously covenantal concept of Marxist theology without God. Here's what he said. The prophet Karl Marx arrived with the aim to save the least of society, the proletarians, the workers, through the establishment of what he called the new covenant, the dictatorship of the proletariat. The dictatorship of the proletariat is that end time or eschatological meaning driving the Marxist credo, the establishment of a new material and moral order. The Communist Revolution represents an operative and cultural event that is perfectly comparable to the process of Christian evangelization, while the dictatorship of the proletariat is the ultimate goal, the supreme materialization of the Marxist political thought. Marxism does not only resemble a religion, it is a clear religious account based on hope, the recurrent form of religious commitment. It's an amazing thing, friends. And it's happening right in front of us. And people are standing up and clapping, and they're saying it's a message of joy and happiness and fulfillment. Just give me, give me, give me what I want. Forget about the long-term effects of it. Just give me what I want now. I want what I want because it's about me. Don't you understand? It's not about you. It's about me. You might want to seriously consider getting a copy of my book, Messiah, friend, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. In that book, amazingly, we present numerous different alternative messiahs that are competing for our love, our attention, our affection, and our allegiance. Whether it's scientific salvation, environmental deification, the Marxist messiah, the evolutionary Christ, or also, how about Noahide laws? Noahide laws, or the Masonic Messiah. You see, all of these are different messianic beliefs that are seeking to capture our attention at this unique moment in history as all of the events of world history are converging together in fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And the pressure is on. What will you and I really believe? And what you believe will be reflected in your vote. what you and I believe will be reflected in our votes. Kamala Harris, by her own admission, her background is Marxist. When she named Tim Walz as her vice presidential running mate, she embraced another Marxist. That's who he is. Just listen to him. Birds of a feather have flocked together. So what we're talking about here, friends, you can look at this as a political aspect. Marxism. Oh, yeah. People that talk about, well, that's Marxist, that's Marxist, that's Marxist. No, we're talking about the spiritual element of this. It has political ramifications, but the root of it is spiritual. It's the rejection of God, the despising of the Christian faith, and creating a substitute faith, a substitute gospel with a new covenant. And that's what it is. Get a copy of the book Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. It's my next to last book. It's a $22 book. It's available to you for $20 on our website, saveus.org. $20 Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. And quite frankly, you're going to have your eyes open when you read this book. Your eyes are going to be open. Actually, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It's yours for $18. $18 on our website. $18, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. So go to the website, saveus.org. Saveus.org, give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Did you know that the neo-Marxist movement, according to a Norwegian commentator, is actually strangling America? Those are his words, strangling America. And when we embrace it, we're actually committing suicide, national suicide, by strangulation. And when you heard Marxism presented with a sweet sound and a big smile last Tuesday night, you were being seduced. There was no real truth that was being presented, just the opposite. It was a marketing job based upon feelings to seduce you into thinking this must be our salvation. This must be our hope for the restoration of a country that was formerly based upon the scriptures. In God we trust. No more in Marx we trust. We can't do that God thing anymore. No, we're smarter now. We're more knowledgeable now. We've got a better grip on things, technologically and so on. We can save ourselves. We just need a little more Marxism. It's so loving. Hasn't it been marketed to us as greatly loving? Is that what you've seen bear out with the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917? A loving display? Is that what Stalin displayed? Is that what Lenin displayed? Is that what the Soviet Union displayed? Is that what Marxism has displayed in Venezuela? A nice, loving resolution of humankind and its problems? My dear friends, we're being seduced into self-immolation and suicide. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Will Marxism be the replacement, the ultimate replacement for the Christian faith? No longer do you need to be crucified with Christ. It's only the rich who need to be crucified, so that the proletariat, the workers, can be lifted up to become dictators. That's Marxism, my friends. And so the promises are made to the people that are most vulnerable in order to get them ramped up to demand and carry out a mass chaotic revolution, so to speak, against the rest of society. While Marxist sociology and economics make no assertion about religious issues other than to, in practical effect, seek to supplant religious implications, Marxist philosophy is the theology of God-denying atheism. It's a theology of God-denying atheism, but it's pursued religiously. And then you've got liberation theology, which is a Christianized offshoot of Marxist philosophy that emerged politically in Latin America in the 1950s and 60s. And then it spread throughout the world, including the United States, in so-called black theology. Mm-hmm. That's what it did. Black theology. Liberation theology looks not primarily to salvation of the soul or spirit, but rather to a practical liberation of the poor. Thereby, it reveals its Marxist roots, embraced in significant measure by guess who? Pope Francis, who is well known for his deeply embraced Marxist liberation theology, preachment, and practice. In fact, he is one of the premier driving forces of the emerging neo-Marxist New World Order or Great Reset. It's promoted by the Vatican as a so-called Christian manifestation of world communism in the post-war against capitalism. This so-called neo-Marxist or new Marxist movement is, in the words of a Norwegian commentator, strangling America. It's shifting both American and Western culture to cannibalize itself by stirring hatred towards traditional values. So this Norwegian commentator reveals that this neo-Marxist left-wing ideology came out of the Frankfurt School in Germany. People like Herbert Marcuse and Theodor Adorno spent years redefining Western values to fit the Marxist views. And it came into our universities in the West in the 1960s. The Marxist movement in the United States transformed society during the past decades, which is now obvious to the international world that's watching the dramatic cultural decay as the country is turning into a third world tragedy. So, this week, when Vladimir Putin and one of his leaders over there said that the United States is becoming nothing but a decadent country, and the whole Western world, Europe, that has embraced this Marxist theology is becoming nothing but decadent. So the world's sole remaining bastion not only for freedom and liberty, but for biblically based values and Christian convictions has been overwhelmingly, yet you might say surreptitiously, invaded by the advance of divine denying Marxism. So to finally merge America and Israel into Marxist messianism of the New World Order, and yet no shots have been fired. It's amazing. It's like a demonic coup to usher in a utopian vision for global salvation without divine intervention. And you and I are going to have to decide. And why is Marxist socialism so deceptive? Why is it so easily received by an increasingly non-Christian and non-Torah observant world? We're going to take a look at that in the second half of the program, the final half of the program, and I'm glad that you've joined us, because what we're looking at, friends, your vote on November 5th, your vote on November 5th will decide whether you are going to embrace a Marxist future for America, which is a godless future. It's looking to a whole new salvation message. Salvation by man himself. God has been dismissed. Again, I urge you to get a copy of my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. It was written to help open the eyes of we the people, and particularly Christians in America, to see that what you think you see out there and the world in which you live is far more infected with alternative messiahs and choices than you might ever imagine. And so the book identifies what those are and then concludes with Daniel's unveiling drama for the prophet Daniel, the unveiling of the Messiah, the decision that we're all facing, an identification of Christ as Messiah, and then a very interesting chapter called The Third Day. You're going to want to get the book just for that chapter, The Third Day. Oh, yeah. It's a $22 book, yours for $18 on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org, give us a call. 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. And is what Eric Metaxas has called for, fasting and prayer, is that a good thing? Yes. Is it a fully efficacious thing? No. Because we've been having fasting and prayer off and on for the past 50 years. One Christian leader said there had been so much prayer going on that God has to answer our prayers. Well, we haven't seen it yet. We've not seen revival in this country, not really. Maybe little bits and pieces here and there. But overall, no. The spirit of rebellion is too great. You see, as A.W. Tozer said, prayer is no substitute for obedience. Prayer is no substitute for obedience. What God is calling is for his people to humble themselves and repent. Yes, pray, but for what purpose? To bring us into oneness, unity with God's word and will. Not with our own desires, because for now, we're still on the trajectory for national suicide. And this isn't just all about America. It's not just all about some institution called America. Because America really is just we the people, isn't it? We the people. So it's about the people. It's not about politics in and of itself. The election, for instance, on November 5th, yes, it's about a political leader. But behind all of that is a spiritual decision. That's what it's really all about. And we don't get it. It's not being presented that way. You listen to the news, you'll never hear anything like that. Even among so-called Christian broadcasters, it's not necessarily presented that way. We need to understand, friends, that this is a war for your soul, for the soul of your children, for the soul of a country, whether or not we will have continuing freedom to even worship God as we feel led. All the forces in this country are mitigating against that. Cities across America, states, Colorado is one of the worst of them. It's pretty incredible. And they're embracing Marxism. That's their religion. It's a secular religion that even Pope Francis embraces. That's why he can call for a new world order. That's why he can embrace the Great Reset. So, the seduction of socialism, why is it so seductive? Well, these political and economic isms are very deceptive. And they're deceptive because they're wrapped around an element of truth, but they tend to extract authority from humanism or naturalism rather than from God and his authority. So we're going to take a look at some of these areas that would help us to identify how socialism is rooted in Marxism and is powerfully persuasive. It's very seductive to the natural mind. In fact, it carries with it somewhat of a, you could say, a spiritual aura of doing good to all men. In fact, those who support it deny that, even while denying the authority of Scripture, will argue the authenticity of socialism by appealing to the Bible for authority. It's quite amazing. Quite amazing. So, for the Marxist and the socialist, good replaces God. So social reformers love socialism. It's a systematized substitute for the unselfish love and compassion that God desires to flow from every human heart, including yours, because we're made in God's image. So the Apostle Paul said, let's do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. But never in the Bible are we called to develop a government to do that for us. No, the idea is that our minds and hearts individually would be drawn because of the Spirit of the Lord to do good, especially in the household of faith. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click sell church.
All right, we're going to continue taking a look at what Marxism looks like in practicality and why it creates such a confusion, almost as if it's Christian. A lot of people say, well, that just sounds like Christian. And that's what we're hearing from the 200,000 or so people that organize themselves as evangelicals for Harris. What they really are is Marxists in evangelical clothing. Even the granddaughter or the great-granddaughter of Dr. Billy Graham. They are embracing the spirit of Marxism and claiming that it's Christian love and so on. So that Kamala Harris is indeed a wonderful, loving Christian, they say. Really? You never hear her talk about her Christian faith. Or she mentions that she had a heritage in a Baptist church, but she also talked about her heritage in the Hindu temple. Where she grew up. So with socialism and Marxism, good replaces God, and compulsion replaces conviction. So socialism, while seemingly driven by principles, is in reality driven by what we call pragmatism, like the purported good ends justify ignoring the heart-driven means which God is desiring from his viewpoint that's important. So it should come from the heart, not from compulsion. Then it also causes a shift in trust. So the further America and the entire West is drifted away from our biblical roots and convictions, the more we have embraced socialism as a deceptive substitute to accomplish care in the social order of things. So it's inevitable that the source of our trust for care of others is shifted from God, guess what, to collective government. That's a huge thing. So that, in effect, we're undoing, in the name of doing what God wants us to do, we're actually undoing the motivation for it. The very heart of the matter is being destroyed. In pursuit of what they call the common good. Now, you're going to hear that a lot from Pope Francis. You heard that a lot in spirit on Tuesday night in the so-called debate. Well, it's all about the niceness of, you know, our community together. It's about the common good and that unites us. No. Truth is what unites us from God's viewpoint. So our trust is going to be tested. It is being tested as we speak. Some people say, well, didn't the early church sell what they had and held all things in common so that all the needs were met? Yes, they did. Was there any government that mandated them to do that? No. No one mandated them that. Even in the church, they weren't mandated to do that. They did it of their own free will. Behold how they love one another. Right? So Marxism, i.e. socialism, loses the true love that is supposed to be the motivation for doing good. So government replaces God then. So why should we be surprised at Satan's counterfeit in socialism? It shouldn't shock us. That's the seed of utopianism. We can save ourselves. We can have a perfect world. So socialism has become the most potent political force in so informally Christian Europe, and even now in America. In other words, we're all committing suicide in the bowing down to Marxism. So America is in a dramatic shift away from her godly roots. We know that. The conviction grows that a new society can be created that will improve mankind, and all we need is just a little more wisdom and a little more knowledge and a little more technology and a little more this, and all of those that don't agree with that have to be removed because they're the ones that are keeping us from being in unity. And that ultimately will generate the world's worst and most heinous persecution ever experienced on this planet. So somebody might say, well, okay, what's the difference between Marxism and communism? Well, Marxism is the foundation of communism, and even as socialism is like a synthetic substitute for loving your neighbor. So communism presents a synthetic utopian government to enforce the perceived wonders of synthetic love through socialism on nations of the world. In other words, it is the force to compel all of it to take place. Have you seen anywhere in the world where that works in the long run? No. You haven't. Did it work in Cuba? Did it work in Venezuela? Is it working in Bolivia? No. Did it work in the Soviet Union? No. Is it working in China? No. Are the people free there? No. So the sanctified church is replaced by a secular community. If you heard Tim Walz talk about this, he says, well, you know, it's really about just loving your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? What they're trying to do is import a biblical concept and mandate it through governmental edicts. That's not what Jesus was talking about in the parable of the Good Samaritan and the neighbor. He's talking about the heart of an individual, loving your neighbor as yourself. It's about the heart motivation. It's not about the end justifying the means. It's not about trying to do an end run around the simplicity of what God was looking for to happen from the heart. That's what's so deceptive about it. Communism. In communism, government supplants God. Just does. The state becomes the ultimate and grand expression of community. And the entity to be worshipped, either not by free will, but by threat of force. So it's unified by the so-called common good rather than God. Communism purports to seek the common good for the community, but having denied a creator God and fails to recognize man's sin nature, it necessitates a totalitarian government to compel men to do what God desires for the heart. There's the deception, friends. And hope then turns into horror. So that's what you're going to be voting for. You're going to be voting for that on November 5th. Socialism, Marxism, merges with communism to create one of mankind's greatest efforts to be governed without God, while giving the theoretical appearance of pursuing an equitable and just society. It denies the fundamental sinful nature of man that necessitates replacement of mercy with merciless totalitarianism supported by secret police. False worship of the state, coupled with the lack of capitalistic incentive, always reveals the synthetic authenticity of socialistic communism. So hope is replaced with horror. And the Western world, and you and I, are going to have to make a choice of messiahs. And what we do, we must do quickly, for the Great Reset is just ahead, scheduled for the year 2030. Exactly 2,000 years since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 2 days from God's viewpoint. While promising messianic hope, Marxism devolves into despair, hopelessness, and horror. May look good on the front end, but in the end, it'll bite you like a cobra. So, fundamentally, it's not about politics. It involves politics, and it determines politics, but it's about your heart. And as Jeremiah said, the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can even know it? So here on Viewpoint, we're trying to, rather than just look at things in a purely political way, we're looking at things in a spiritual way, realizing that our outlook toward God and his viewpoint then has political ramifications. The fundamental issue is not political. The fundamental issue is a matter of your heart, my heart, our hearts. I hope this is understandable. In order to get into not only that more deeply, but also a whole variety of other false messiahs and so on, get a copy of the book Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. It'll open your eyes, friends. It really will open your eyes and help you to have a clearer, discerning spirit about the world that we're living in and the choices that we must make. It's a $22 book, yours for $18 on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Now, for those of you who became part of the Persecution Project and you received anywhere from 10 to 40 books based upon your commitment to that project, I hope that you have been actively pursuing getting those books as God leads you into the hands of those who you have become convinced will be best served by getting the book. Don't wait around too long. Don't let them sit in your garage. Don't let them sit in your attic or in your closet. Let's get those out there because time is short. Time is very short, friends. Like the song used to say, time, oh good, good time, where have you gone? It's fleeting. It's moving very rapidly. Who would have ever believed that 2030 was just 5.5 years away? That's right, 5.5 years away. And now we're looking at an election that puts us in 2025 from an inauguration, and 4 years from that takes us to 2029. That's 1 year before 2030. When the Great Reset is supposed to take place, which is at its root, total Marxism at worst and communism at its best. And the United Nations gathering together a one world government to be established according to Agenda 2030 in 2030. Do we not yet see that these are the times that Jesus talked about? The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, John, James, all of them? Yeah. So we need to kind of buckle up, friends. Put on a harness on our chariot, a seatbelt and a harness, and get rolling for the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All the other things will be added. Stop seeking political saviors. Let's do our best, discerning through the Spirit of Christ, to avoid that which is counterfeit and embrace that which is true and real. God bless and be a blessing. Appreciate every one of you. What a privilege it is to come before you every day to confront the deepest issues of America's heart and home.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.